This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCO.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Herding Code. This is being recorded on Wednesday, August 31st, 2011, and today we're talking to Bert Belder. Bert is a Node.js developer, and is one of the core contributors to the port of Node to Windows. So welcome, Bert. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, you're welcome.
So why don't I start with how did you get started working with Node?
Okay, so I was working for another web development company. Basically, we're just building some web application for construction companies, etc. It's not really relevant, but we were moving away from having a PHP backend to doing more and more with JavaScript at the client side. But at a certain point, we were seeing like massive duplication of efforts because, for example, we had pretty complex calculations done to calculate invoices, etc. And we had to do it in PHP so we could safely verify it. And we had to do it in JavaScript because we wanted to do it quickly at the client side. So at a certain point, I started looking for a solution so we could basically just use the JavaScript code on the server end as well. By the time Node was just like getting a bit of traction, and well, I saw Ryan's presentation and I thought, hey, this is cool. So that's how I got started with Node. By the time, like me and my coworkers, we were all using Windows to develop on, even though our application actually ran on Linux. So I felt it impossible to like tell my coworkers that we should not use Node because, well, we were all unable to use it in practice. So that's what how I got started porting it to Windows, basically.
We've had a show on Node before, so I think most people will be at least a little bit familiar with it. But I was curious if you could just walk us through the implementation details. Like if I have a piece of code that I want to execute on the client side to perform validation and on the server side with Node, what sort of steps do you have to go through? How do you package that? What sort of pattern do you follow to do that?
I don't know. I never did this in practice because by the time we were ready to actually implement it, I was gone at that company. However, it's just JavaScript. So if you can put all your stuff that you want to run on the client and server in a single JavaScript file, you need to add a minor piece of boilerplate code so you can actually so when you're on the server, your JavaScript knows that it's on the server and it may do some specific things differently. But like for the major part, it's just JavaScript. You can run it without any complication. One thing to consider is that in Node you have this module system, so you can call require and a file name, and then it will load this file name and it will run it and then take the exports object that's left after running this file, and that's like the part of your module that's exposed to other modules. This system does not exist in a client, so you have to take care a little.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. Yep, thanks.
Okay, so now how did you actually come to work on the Windows port itself? Well, maybe take a step back and ask, like, how was it decided that it was going to be ported to Windows in the first place? Did you just volunteer to do the work, or was it an edict from above that Ryan said, we shall do this?
As I said, I wanted to use Node when I was working for this web development company. And by the time there were some small discussions on the Node mailing list about maybe we should port this to Windows. Nobody knows how, but it would be good if it was done at some point. And I thought, hey, why not just try it? So it started kind of as a hobby project. So I did it, maybe 1 hour a day or something. And it was pretty successful. When I just got started, I was surprised by how easy it was to get something working. This all changed when you get to the nitty details, but that's how I got started.
Was there any resistance to this? I mean, some of the developer, web development platforms sort of think of Windows as a second-class platform. You know, they sort of turned their nose up at Windows. Were there people that didn't think that this was worth the effort?
There were certainly people who thought it wasn't worth the effort. So you should imagine by the time that I got started, like Node has existed for about a year or so, but it has never worked on Windows. So most of the Windows users had already kind of given up on Node, or they were not actively participating in the community. So what's left was just people who were not particularly interested in Windows and thought, well, hey, I don't care about this. Although there was not much resistance to it, there were a few people who thought that way, hey, if you're going to port this to Windows, you're going to have to sacrifice some Unix features or Unix performance. But mostly people were, okay, well, go ahead and try. And what helped very much is that Ryan, the creator of Node, he always wanted to have a Windows port. He just didn't know how to do it. So he was always very helpful.
So when we'd earlier talked to people about this, they'd said that one of the biggest hang-ups of getting this going on Windows was the whole the different eventing model. There was libevent, libev, and things like that. Was that one of the major things that you had to tackle?
When I just got started, not really. Windows does support like the more Unixy model of doing sockets, but it's just not good if you want to create a high-performance server. But when I just got started, I could use the stuff that was already in libev that Node was using at the time. And somebody had already tried to make it work on Windows. It was not very complete, but it kind of worked already. So like this is like the most important thing that Node does. It does great networking. So it was easy to get this going. There were more difficult problems. For example, something simple as the REPL. If you run Node without like a script, then you will get like this prompt where you can enter JavaScript. For example, to get this working on Windows was very difficult because on Unix systems, like the keyboard, it behaves just like a stream of bytes. And you can interact with that just like you interact with a network socket or a file. And on Windows, this is all different. So this is not really important stuff, but to get this going was actually the biggest problem in the first place.
So I'm curious, for people who haven't even tried to run Node on Windows, what would the experience be like? Are we looking at something that installs and you just run a hosting process from the command line and it's ready to go and accept connections, or is there something else to it?
At the moment, we don't have a stable Windows version. We only have like betas, basically. This is just an .exe file that you download and then you can run it. It's as simple as that. So you download node.exe and you enter node myscript.js and it runs that. There's not much more to it.
Okay. And it's just automatically listening on?
It's not automatically listening. When you're writing a Node program, you're very close to the metal. So if you want to set up a HTTP server, you have to write code that says, hey, start an HTTP server at port 80 and then do this when a request comes in. So you do this when you're running it on Linux, and you do the same when you do it on Windows. But this is all very trivial to do in Node. That's the nice thing about it. You can have your own HTTP server or whatever you can do. Anything you can think of, and it's mostly simple to set up. So,
what is the team that's working on this Windows port? Is it just you, or is there a group of you that are working on it?
There is a group, a small group of people. So to do the Windows port, a lot of the Linux or Unix implementation has to change as well. So that's why we're building a separate library to do the platform-dependent stuff, etc. And there are basically four people who are working on this. There's Ben Nordhuis, also a Dutch guy, and Ryan. They're working on the Unix side of things. And there's me, and there's Igor, who works for Microsoft, who's working on the Windows side.
You mentioned a couple of the technical things that were challenging, like the console stuff. Like, what else? What were the other big technical challenges in getting this thing not only working, but working robustly and high performance and all that?
Okay, as I said, I started just using libev and the Unix model for as much as Windows supported. But later, when I got hired by CloudKit, We decided that it should not only work on Windows, but it should rock. The performance should be great, etc. So we then decided that we wanted to go with I/O completion ports, which is the way on Windows to do high performance networking. And that meant that a great deal of node implementation had to change to make room for this. And we also had to, basically what we started to do is emulate the Windows model, the I/O completion port model on Unix systems. So we had to write a library for that. And plus we had to do a complete new implementation for Windows that uses these I/O completion ports. There's other stuff. I mean, almost everything is different on Windows. It's not very hard to get it going, but it's just a lot of work. For example, spawning a child process, that's very different on Windows too. I mean, on Windows you just call create process and it does that, while on Linux you would do the typical fork exec. So we have to make like two endpoints for the JavaScript library so it can do the right thing on Windows and Unix. But that's just work. It's not a great technical challenge. I wouldn't call it that.
So when Ryan first announced the port, I saw that some negative feedback was concern that it would, by abstracting things so that it worked on Windows and Unix, or, you know, non-Windows systems, that the abstraction would harm performance or would mess up the code base. Have you seen that? Does it seem like that, you know, it does harm the integrity of the original code base?
Well, it's certainly not harming the integrity of the original code base. Quite the opposite, I think. It's getting more, it's getting better separated. You have, like, there's JavaScript parts, there's like bindings that basically the link between the stuff that's written in C and the stuff that's written in JavaScript. And there's, now we have a separate library, this libuv, that has all the implementation of the networking functionality, etc. It's getting better, actually. That said, so far we're seeing a slight performance decrease on Linux. We're not entirely sure why that happens, and we're figuring it out. So by the time we release a stable version, it's totally unacceptable to make it perform less on Linux than it did before. This is gonna work. When Ryan announced the Windows port, there something very interesting was going on. Like, the first lot of reactions were, yes, finally there's something going to happen, this is good. And then maybe it's trolling, I don't know. Some negative responses came in. People who were saying, hey, this must hurt Linux performance. Well, maybe that's kind of a valid concern, but we're making sure that's not going to happen. But the most people actually thought that Microsoft was now hijacking Node and would kill it or change it, that it would only work on Windows or something. And yeah, obviously that's not going to happen. So far, we've had great support from Microsoft. And it doesn't look like they're going to break Node. I'm not so concerned by this.
So, did you have a background in high performance networking on Windows and using I/O completion ports and all that sort of stuff, or have you just been kind of figuring it out as you've gone along?
The second option. Yes, I've been figuring it out as I got along. I've been programming for a lot of time, and I've done some Windows programming as well. But yeah, most of it was just trying different strategies that are available in Windows and figuring out which are the best, which are the ways to make it perform great. And I've had a lot of time to do this. I mean, I started doing this in like October last year, and it wasn't until March or so that we actually decided that we wanted to make it rock. So in the meantime, I've been trying different strategies just to figure out if it works. And so when we started to do this in March, I already kind of knew how to do it, and we just had to implement it. And right now, Igor, the Microsoft guy, he's doing a lot of performance work. So there is a lab at his department where they have several computers with Linux and Unix, and they do load testing, etc., and try to tweak the strategies to make it even faster.
That was my question, actually. I was wondering, you know, about how the testing works. Is there kind of a standard test suite or something that people run against Node? Or, you know, what specific kind of scenarios do you test there?
So the most important test that we do at the moment is, we call it HTTP bench. It's just 1,000 clients connect to the same server at the same time, the server sends a very small response like "Hello world," and then the client disconnects again. And we measure how many connection send disconnect cycles node can handle per second. That's the major test we do at the moment. What's also very important for us is to do what Node traditionally is good at, which is manage a lot of idle connections. So we try this, like just have 10,000 connections made and then only send small bits of data every now and then to it. These are the major test points.
So going back to a little bit to what we were talking about before with regards to porting this to Windows and how the libraries work and so forth, there's a big environment full of Node modules to do everything from sockets to talk to databases to format data, serialize data. And I'm just wondering, what's the planned experience around that? Should I just be able to pick pretty much any module and, you know, 60% of them will just work? And things that do particular types of I/O might require some additional, writing in C or C++ on my own.
So there are two kinds of Node modules. There's stuff that's just written in JavaScript, and I think 90% or so of this will just work on Windows without any change. And there's the group of compiled add-ons. There are not so many of these, but I don't know what can they do. They can do like non-standard file system stuff, etc. Or talk to a database using a driver written in C. Sometimes we see this. People don't get around to implementing the protocol to talk to the database in JavaScript, so they just take a standard C library for it and wrap it, so and expose its functionality to Node. Doing these modules probably need some additional work because, as I said, a lot of stuff is different in Windows, and you can't just expect that these modules will compile on Windows and then work fine. That's not going to work. Although, now that we have this lib, we're working on this libuv library that abstracts the differences between Unix and Windows. So if the authors of compiled add-ons can use this, probably it's going to be easier to make it cross-platform.
And I noticed from looking at GitHub that that's where the majority of your commits have been, is working on the libuv and not directly on Node itself.
Yeah, that's true. So libuv, that's the place where we put all the I/O. It's mainly dealing with I/O, so it's file I/O, it's network sockets, it's console, it's spawning child processes. Yeah, this is where we abstract away the differences between Windows and Unix, and then we can change Node, so it just in the binding layer, so the parts of Node that are written in C++, it can just invoke a libuv function. And then it works. So you can see libuv as a kind of cross-platform standard C library that does everything asynchronous. That's very important about it. So it never really blocks, and Node can always carry on with its activities, and only when I/O completes or when a child process terminates or when a user presses a key, libuv sends a signal back to Node, and it will wake up and make its callbacks, etc.
So then, since that's abstracted out, are there other projects in addition to Node that are making use of that?
There are a few that I know of. For example, Mozilla is working on a programming language called Rust, and they're using it. I don't know. I can look it up. I don't remember the name. There is some sort of C# version of Node. That's what they call it. And that they also want to use it. And yes, I've seen some more interest, but you should be aware that libuv currently is a very young project. I mean, it's only there for a couple of months. It's changing very quickly, and the API is far from stable. So right now, it's not a great target to work with if you're not working on Node. I kind of expect this to change in the future. So I think actually people will start using libuv for other stuff. Oh, yeah, it's Manos the Mono, yes.
So what's the process of designing those abstracted APIs like? I mean, First of all, do you like have a Linux background also, or do you know Linux programming and Windows programming, or are you just mostly Windows?
I know most about Windows programming, although I in the process I've learned a lot about Linux. So what are good abstractions? Well, I don't know. We just do.
It seems like, you know, coming up with an abstraction when you only know half of the story, like, is tricky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but usually, I know kind of the things that Linux can do. And in many cases, Windows is actually the bottleneck. Linux is much more flexible in a lot of aspects. But usually what we try is just propose an API and see if we can implement this on either platform, like without doing crazy hacks and stuff or doing things that would hurt performance, and then see if we can use the same API on the other platform. And if, for example, I would propose something that would be easy to implement on Windows but requires crazy hacks on Linux, then we don't use that API. It's as simple as that. It's also kind of the power of our current development process. I mean, we're not trying to shoehorn one platform into the other's concepts. It's just we're trying to find a abstraction that suits both platforms well.
Are there places, just out of curiosity, are there places where Windows is actually, you know, easier, more flexible, more powerful than Linux, or has it mostly gone the other way?
It's an interesting question. So far, we have not discovered much of these. But, okay, so Node was a Linux-only project. So what we've been trying to do is make everything available that was originally invented with Linux in the back of the mind to port this to Windows. So if Windows has as powerful features that Linux doesn't, for example, then we're probably not aware of this at the moment because we didn't expose these features to Node users in the first place. Maybe in the future we'll find those. I don't know yet. So there's a few things. For example, Windows seems to have a kernel mode HTTP driver. In theory, that could be very nice to use. But so far, we're not doing this because we already had our own HTTP parser, etc. So we're just using that. Maybe in the future, we'll find out that using the kernel mode driver is much better or much faster or something. And at that point, we might think, hey, Windows is better at this.
I was just wondering if any of the porting work could have been aided by some other projects that might be out there. Cygwin comes to mind, but I don't think they're open source.
Cygwin is open source, sure. But the goal of Cygwin is pretty different, and I don't like it very much, honestly. Cygwin aims to provide like a libc, etc. implementation that works just like Unix, but you can use it to compile Windows programs, or you can compile programs so they run on Windows. And Cygwin does a lot of crazy tricks, very inefficient tricks at some points, to make everything work like just it would work on Linux. This was not a great inspiration. We used to have a Node version that would compile on Cygwin or with Cygwin and then run on Windows. But it was very painful for users, and they ran into all kinds of issues. For example, if you've ever used Cygwin, you'll notice that it tends to complain a lot about not being able to remap DLLs and stuff, and then you have to start programs and do crazy stuff to get it to work again. Since it's made to make Unix programs compile on Windows, it supports the slow way of doing networking on Windows. So if you want to write a high-performance server, then it's not usable. Apart from that, by the way, Cygwin is a great piece of engineering. I mean, they actually managed to make Windows behave like Unix. And that's quite it's great. But yeah, it's not usable.
Speaking of that, I noticed in recent commits that you said that Cygwin support is being dropped because there's going to be native support. Is that something that will affect people really at all?
I don't think so. I mean, the native port will work better than the Cygwin port in almost every aspect. The only thing that comes to mind is we were talking about these compiled add-ons earlier. If you have an add-on that compiles on Linux, you might as well compile it with Cygwin on Windows, maybe. and then it will just work while making it compile to a native DLL on Windows. That probably is going to be a bit harder. But apart from that, I can't imagine anything that works better using the same import.
So the big thing that isn't available on the Windows platform, as far as I know, is NPM.
And that's only temporary. I mean, there's no real reason why NPM can't work on Windows. It's just that the author of NPM, which is Isaac Sluter, didn't get around to do it so far. So, but he's starting on it now, and he will probably have it done in, well, I think a couple of weeks. There's a few issues with it. For example, NPM uses tar and gzip, etc. It's just spawns the command line versions of these programs on Linux, and then it runs its stuff through it. But on Windows, tar and gzip are not generally available, so we have to actually either port parts of it to JavaScript or add some of this functionality to Node itself, which is what we're going to do. We're going to add a gzip functionality to Node, and tar will be ported to JavaScript, basically.
So without being able to use NPM currently, how hard is it to, you know, obviously you want to be able to use other packages that are out there. Can you do it now? I mean, are there machinations you can do to work with packages that exist currently?
Well, NPM, like since NPM 1.0, I think, it doesn't do so much magic. It just extracts the packages to a folder called node modules. And then it resolves all dependencies, and then also extracts those to the node modules folder. So this is something that you can do by hand. It's not terribly difficult. So if you really want to, you can do this. It's obviously it's more convenient just to use NPM. So what I usually do is just fire up my Linux VM and then run it there. But yeah, this obviously is not the great way that we want to provide to our users.
So I've seen also that there's this IIS node, which hosts Node with minimal changes, apparently, but it's under Internet Information Server, which had some benefits like manageability and process hosting and logging and stuff like that. Do you have any familiarity with that at all?
Well, I know that it exists, but no, I've never used it. Apparently, it's made to support Windows Azure. So one of the major interests of Microsoft in helping us out is because they want to have people run Node on Windows Azure. And on Windows Azure, you can have like several different roles for the software you use. So you can have a worker role where you would use Node just like you would use it on any other platform. But you can also have it in a web role where like the HTTP connections that come into your server are accepted by IIS, and then IIS distributes it over the other web role workers, etc. I don't know exactly how this works, but and IIS node is basically to support the second option. So in that case, IIS just acts as a reverse proxy, and it relays HTTP requests to Node.
So if you weren't going to run IIS Node, you were just going to have Node itself running on Windows as a server, can Node run as a service, or is that something that you guys are planning on adding?
You can. At the moment, you can't. Yes, I am planning this, but we're not actually working on it at the moment. I'd have to figure out how this actually works. So probably what you would need to have is a small helper, a small utility that can set up Node as a server, so create the registry entries, etc. that needs. This is going to be nice for people who are used to working with Apache, for example, and expect it to just run when you start up their computer and shut down when they close it. I don't know. I don't think if you want to use Azure that you need to run it as a server. Azure has its own way to manage it.
So from what I was reading, that seems like the simpler way. If you did want service, you know, hosting and startup with Windows and all that, that IIS node seems like the easy way to do that.
Yes, I think that may be true. I don't know. I didn't actually use IIS node so far. I don't even use IIS, honestly, so how would I know?
Yeah, the thing that I'm not sure about is that, you know, IIS sort of sits at the HTTP layer, and Node can actually run below that, right? I mean, Node is more of the socket layer.
Yes.
So if you want to do some fancier, you know, whatever, WebSockety stuff, I don't know what if IIS Node, you know, would interfere with that.
I think although you can use it at the socket layer, most people do not accept like raw TCP connections from the outside world. I mean, they can use TCP connections to connect to their databases or something, and that's just going to work even when you run IIS Node. Yes, accepting incoming TCP connections probably won't work. Whether WebSockets work, I don't know. I mean, this is not a problem for a node. The question is whether IIS and IIS Node can properly reverse proxy WebSocket connections. And I think if maybe they already do, and otherwise, I'm pretty sure they will add it.
So going back to the notion of modules that need to support calling into native code, like, you know, a database driver that's written in C or something like that. Is there a goal to have that be nicely supported in a cross-platform way? So, for example, in your module, you could bundle in a DLL for Windows and then, you know, whatever you bundle in for Linux. I don't know Linux very well. Inside the same module, and then the JavaScript could switch between them based on which platform it's on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So that's the idea, kind of. So far, what people have been doing is just publish the source code. And when you wanted to use a native module, then you had to compile it yourself. But on Windows, like most people don't actually have a compiler toolchain installed. So what we're doing is, or what we're going to do is change NPM so that it can host binaries. So you can, the author of the module can just compile a DLL or something, and then upload this to the NPM repository. And then if you're on Windows, it will automatically like download the right version of the DLL for you, and you can use that straight in Node. That's the idea. We also have some plans to make compiling add-ons easier on Windows, but we're not entirely sure how to do this. So at the moment, we're having this very annoying build system in Node that's called WAF, and we're requiring module authors to use WAF as well to compile their add-ons. But this is not what we want to do on Windows. So, but we're not really sure what we're going to do instead.
So continuing on the topic of modules, what do you think is going to happen in the community, or what, you know, what's the goal? I mean, do you think that the community will embrace Windows as a platform and make sure that their modules work on Windows? Or is that going to be just more up to the module author? Is there going to be a real drive to get, you know, especially things that don't have a lot of native code dependencies, to get those packages working on both platforms?
I would certainly hope so. But obviously, we can't force people to make their stuff work on Windows. I don't know. I think people are kind of interested in doing it anyway. I mean, if you're like, if you take the effort to write a module and publish it and stuff, most people are not actually, they don't want to lock people out or something. So if it's reasonably easy to make it cross-platform, then I expect people to do it. But so far, we're as a group of Node committers, we haven't really reached out to people and told them how they should prepare for Windows, mostly because we're not sure ourselves. So I think by the time we're going to see a stable release, then I know more about it. Sorry, at the moment I don't know.
Oh, and by the way, one interesting thing, that list of things that Hanselman posted about this IIS Node, but this was interesting about the multi-core, so running multiple node.exe processes. I don't know how that would, you know, you'd have to manage things, but kind of neat.
It's interesting. I mean, what people obviously can do right now is just when you start one node process, you can have it duplicate itself. So the node process can spawn other node processes. This is kind of the way you're supposed to do it right now. And there's a general trick that can be used on Linux system. We call it a prefork server, but the name is not very accurate. Basically, it boils down to like the different node processes listen to one incoming socket. So they're all listening to port 80, and then the operating system will decide, hey, an HTTP connection is coming in, let's send it to some random node process. That works on Linuxes. I tried this last week, and it also works on Windows, if you really, really want to. But this is something that IIS Node can do for you right now. So in this case, IIS will decide which node process it's going to use to send this HTTP connection to. This sounds very nice, right? One problem that I see with it is usually when you actually run multiple node processes, you want to have them communicate with each other. And so far, I have not seen a way for node processes that are managed by IIS node to discover each other and talk to each other. Well, say for example, you're running a chat server and you're running multiple node processes. You don't want like the users that are being serviced by node process one can talk to each other and the users that are serviced by process two can talk to each other, but they can't like users can't talk to the other process. That's not a desirable solution. So you need to find a way then to bridge between the different processes. So I don't know, maybe IIS node should add something that makes this easy, or we should do it, should add it to the node core. I suppose this will be solved at some point.
On a previous show, we talked to somebody who was also hosting V8, and they had to jump through some hoops in order to handle the whole single-threaded architecture.
I can imagine. I mean, this is not trivial. Somehow you need to think, hey, right now I'm running one process, and that's enough to handle the load that my server gets. But at some point, maybe I have more users or more visits per minute, so I need to run multiple processes. But now I suddenly have two unconnected instances of my service. Yes, people have to think about this. But we never really considered this a problem because we kind of wanted to be the right tool to build web-scale applications. And when you build web-scale applications, then you also have to consider the possibility that one server may not be enough and you have to run like 20 servers to host your website or whatever. And when the time comes, you'll need to have like inter-process communications anyway because you can't really share data between multiple servers. You need to have like sockets and pipes, etc. set up to do this for you. So yeah, with Node, you run into this situation where juggling data between different processes is hard a little earlier than with other tools. But when you're serious about your web application, you'll run into it anyway at some point.
One of the other cross-platform issues that I've noticed as you guys have been working on this is the whole build system issue. And I gather that Node has moved to a build system called JIP. I'm not actually sure how to pronounce it. That sort of handles some of this for you.
Yes, that's true.
So well, yeah, what does that do for you exactly?
One of the issues that we had with WAF is just that maintaining the build system is very complex and it's a big mess basically. But we figured out that V8, like it's a major component of Node and it uses scons and it's very similar to WAF. It's also a big mess. But we figured that to build V8 in Google Chrome, they actually used JIP. And if you look at the structure of JIP files, it's just like a sort of tree. It looks like JSON a lot, where you define the files that it needs to compile, specific flags that you want to set, etc. And the nice thing about JIP is that it can use this information and create a build system for you, basically. So on Linux, it would create a makefile for you. On Windows, it can generate a Visual Studio project. We like this very much. And yes, that's why we started to move to this.
So when you're doing your development of stuff on Windows, I mean, are you just using Visual Studio, basically?
Yes. So I've been using MinGW for a long time. But basically, there was this problem where we were using another library called EIO that does file system operations in a thread pool. So they don't block your main thread. But this was also mainly targeted Linux, so it was using pthreads. And pthreads don't come with Visual Studio by default, but they do come with MinGW. So we had to stick to MinGW until at some point this got too painful and we landed pthreads, like the source code of it, in our tree for a short while. And now we've completely moved away from it. So it's completely fine to use Visual Studio. There's also like a few minor compatibility issues. I mean, the C compiler, many pieces of libuv, or libuv in its entirety, is written in C. And the C compiler of Microsoft seems to be a little outdated. It supports only C89 standard or something. And since we had never used it before, all our code wouldn't compile. So in the process, we've updated it so it does.
Okay. Well, I think we're just at about an hour now.
Oh,
And I think I'm out of questions. John, Gay Scott?
I'm out.
No, this has been very good.
Bert, is there anything you want to let people know about? Things that, you know, other projects you're working on or speaking that you're doing or anything like that?
Not really at the moment, no. So at the moment, I'm just working on Node, basically. So, and I'm trying to graduate, but I'm just getting started. There's nothing interesting to tell about it. So.
All right, great. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. It was really interesting.
Okay, well, you're welcome.
Wait, I have one more question. How do you pronounce your Twitter handle?
Oh, I never pronounce it.
It cannot be pronounced.
It can be pronounced. It's Latin. So, I don't know, people would say Piscis aureus. That's how I would pronounce it. It just means golden fish or goldfish, maybe. And it's a long story, but I stick to it for a while. People know me by my Twitter handle now, so I can just change this to Bert. Besides, Bert's much more boring. So.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. Join us again next time for another episode of Hurting Code.